Hi there, and welcome to today's episode. Really great to be here today. And look, we do apologise, we haven't been quite as regular this financial year. It's got off to a bit of a cracking start. We've also had a bit of travel and a lot of moving around. So we'll be back on regularly and try to get these out at least every week, maybe every 2 weeks. I suppose that's the challenge of busyness and making the time and getting them produced and all that sort of stuff. But thanks for listening in. Today we've got some stuff to talk about. First thing is about returns. Second thing about a key strategy that's really quite important. And third about a business process that we use that might be worth sharing. So let's start with returns. We often get this question over the 23 years or so now of advising. You might meet with a client or someone, wherever, and they say, what returns do you get? And I'll be cynical, but the reason why so many people get misled and so many people lose their money is because they're chasing returns, because they don't really understand what returns are anyway. So therefore, the question, what returns do you get, they don't really know what they're asking. And the problem with that is that, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the industry who will tell them what they want to hear. So if I was, maybe the word dodgy is a bit too severe, but let's use the word dodgy, I would tell that uneducated investor or client whatever I want, like, because they're just going to listen to that and go, wow, you can get that sort of return. I'm going to use you because that other person down the road told me that I've got to expect, you know, 8 or 9% over time, and you're telling me 20. You are signed. Show me the money. Now, for anyone who's an intelligent investor realizes that there's a problem in that equation, that if you're going to get 20% and the market does 9, then you're taking on extra risk and there's a risk of your money being lost or just being some Ponzi scheme or a scam. And there's too many of those in the world that have happened, from really, really famous, from Madoff through to Melissa Caddick to all sorts of, it happens all the time. But unfortunately, people still, no matter, either they haven't read all those stories or it's just in them that they just want to chase returns. And they struggle to come back to the understanding of, well, what really drives returns and what's right for them and what's a good return and what's a bad return. The reality is there's a huge research house in the States called Dalbar. You can look them up. And they research the US super funds, so what they call their 401k and other sources, and they can see the returns over many, many decades now. And their research has shown that the average investor completely misses out. Like if the S&P 500 has a long-term return of 11%, the average investor is getting about 4 or 5. And that's disastrous because they could have got the 11% if they just hung on and invested. But what happens is there's a few bad years, they put into products that they're sold into, they chase stuff, the emotions get in the way, the fees get in the way, the costs, the taxes, everything else gets in the way. And that chopping and changing, that emotional roller coaster, detracts from returns. And that's not including the people who put stuff into investments that just lost their money. And I've seen that in Australia. It's very sad when you see people come in who have lost money. And 9 out of 10, it's because they were chasing stuff. Like I remember meeting a couple, this is back in, when was Storm Financial? 2007 or something, maybe around then. A long time ago now, and a company called Storm Financial was doing really well, had good profile. We're wondering what they were up to because people were talking about them and they were promising these huge returns. And in comes this, and after they collapsed, this couple came in, they referred to me by an accountant, and I'm sitting there with the accountant, and this couple is probably about 60 and they've just lost, you know, a lot of money, like $500,000 in Storm Financial. And they had a bit left over, but it was a big hit to them. And the first thing I asked, once we went through that and explained what had happened with Storm, obviously it wasn't something we'd recommended, of course, they'd been to this Storm Financial, that it collapsed. They'd now come to their accountant and said, what do we do? First question they said was, can you get me 20% a year? Now, I sort of looked at them and said, well, isn't that what Storm promised you? And they went, yeah, but that's okay. Like, we understand that failed, but what can you do? And I just said, look, I can't help you. Like, if you've already learned your lesson, I would have thought, but no, you haven't. So, you know, we're not in that game of trying to overpromise returns. So the lesson is, you know, returns, if you just dig deep into, well, if you're really unsure about returns or whatever it is, it's actually quite easy to work out. Go and look at what the index return is for the Australian share market for the last 30 years. Go and look at the index return for the US share market for the last 30 years. Look at the index return for cash, for bonds. Combine those together and that's what your return, that's what an expected return is for the last 30 years. Now, whether that's the same in the future, who knows? But you've got to expect similar sort of types of outcomes based on capitalism and things like that. But that's a starting point. So if someone tells you 20% and the past has only been 9 or 10, and you're disappointed in that 9 or 10 answer, then you're going to lose your money. That's as simple as that. You're going to get caught up in something that's not suitable for you, or potentially something that's really, really, really bad. So if we look at the super fund returns over the last 10 years, got it here in the Smart Investor section of today's financial review. You know, the best returning for 10 years is about 10% for a high growth and 80% allocation growth assets, and about 7.8% for a fund allocated to 60% growth assets. And that's pretty common. So, you know, I know that might sound not that exciting, but look, if you're getting between 8 and 10% over time, that's a fantastic result. And the challenge is, that's their return. So the reality is, over 10 years, a lot of people in those funds would have been chopping and changing and not been in that one fund for that time. So the result is, actually, those people who put their money in and has left it, ignored it, have probably done better than the ones who have tried to chop and change and chase returns and things like that. So if you're managing your own money, it's really careful to say, hey, buying the odd share, buying this super leveraged fund, all those sort of things. Bit of excitement, bit of fun, easy to sell, but do they actually work? And people can sell these things all day, every day, because I could sit there. I often said to clients, we would have made a lot more money over the last 23 years if we sold products that promised outperformance. We've sold, you know, for sake of a word, a very conservative approach. It's worked. Clients have done very well over a long period of time. It's been low cost for the client and the fees have been reasonable. But we could have made a lot more money selling fancy rubbish that wouldn't have been in the best interest of the clients. I'll be totally honest about that. So be careful when you ask the question, what returns can you get? All right, we'll move into the next little segment. One thing that we talk about with clients as they get older is superannuation has a deft sort of tax in it. A lot of Australians don't know about this, but if you've got a super fund and you're getting older, there's a thing called a death benefit tax, and effectively part of your superannuation, when it passes to your family, can be taxed at 15%, and potentially with plus the Medicare levy of 17%. So some of you might be listening and go, that's okay, I'm young. Some of you might go, wow, what does this mean? So it's important to look at your member balance. There's a component in there called a taxable and a tax-free component. The taxable component has come from your taxable contributions over time. And basically, for most people, that's going to be a high proportion of their funds. So let's say you've got $1 million in your super fund and you're 80 years old and 80% is taxable, then $800,000 could be taxed to your dependents when they fall at 15% or maybe 17%. So it's quite a lot of tax. And it's been talked about in the industry for many years that if you're getting old and you're not feeling well and you think that your days are numbered, then maybe you just withdraw the money out of the super fund and gift it or invest it in your own name. Now, hopefully you live a few more years, but if you really think that, you know, you're 85 and things are getting a bit grim, you're going to save your beneficiaries quite a bit of money. And obviously you want to do that. You don't want to do that the day before you die. The tax office has just looked at some cases. There's quite a few cases of this happening. And if you're in a self-managed super fund, very easy. You can hit withdraw, get your money out. If your investments are liquid, then you can get that out pretty quickly. Go and invest that in your own name or start to gift it off to kids. Obviously, there's implications around Social Security and things like that. But simply said, you could just say, look, I don't need a super fund anymore. I'll just take this money out, and if I live for another couple of years, that's great. If, however, you're in a public offer fund, like a big industry fund, they can take time to process that. So what's happened in some of these tax office cases is that they've passed away, but the super fund hasn't paid out the money for a couple of months because of process and things like that, and therefore the tax office is saying, well, are we going to tax this or not? Now, thankfully, in the last case that went through the tax office, they actually decided that, okay, it was an intended withdrawal. We'll let that go tax-free. But the risk is that they say it's not and that they tax that at the 15%. So be careful with that strategy. It's something you're talking about with clients. Again, it's something for older clients to think about. Do they need the super fund anymore? We've certainly seen clients in their 90s start to wind it down and say, look, do you need this fund anymore? There would be a tax if you kept it. Maybe it's worth winding it down. And just investing that money in your own name and hopefully live another 10 years. The tax difference, if you've got a couple hundred grand in super, isn't going to be a big difference anyway because you've got a tax-free threshold when you're an individual. Many old Australians can earn up to over $20,000 tax-free anyway. So it's just something to think about and the timing of those transactions, and also be aware of the tax avoidance laws as well. Okay, next one we're going to look at is if you're running a business, if you're listening to us and you're an advisor and accountant, one of the things that we've been implementing in our business is a system called EOS. It's the Entrepreneurial Operating System, I highly recommend it. It's a fantastic system. It sort of comes out of the Good to Great, Jim Collins type books, if you've heard of those. This guy's called Gino Wickman. It's called Traction, the book. If you look up Traction by Gino Wickman, Gino, G-I-N-O, Wickman. And then there's guys who implement that. We've been lucky enough, we had a client who actually sold a business and actually became an EOS consultant. More than happy to recommend this consultant to you. But if you're thinking about really fine-tuning your business, really getting some processes and systems in place, highly recommend EOS. Go to eosworldwide.com. Have a look. We are not associated. We don't get any fee or anything like that. I just think it's great and highly recommend it. So that's it for today. A few key things. Returns. Be careful when you ask about returns. Be careful when you're talking about tax withdrawals from super and EOS. Get on board. Thanks for listening in. And thanks for your patience. A couple of weeks gap, but we'll be back. And we're getting, I think we're over 3,000 listeners now. So, wow. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Please like us. The more comments we get and things like that, the better. So if you are listening, yeah, just say something or comment or whatever. It'd be really helpful. Thank you. Bye. So thanks so much for listening in to today's podcast. Just remember, it is general information. If you need personal advice, please seek an advisor or go to our website, cntm.com.au. Log in and we can direct you if you need more help. Also, we just want to remind you, if you're loving this stuff, please like and subscribe and share it around. We're really enjoying spreading the word around super and hope you enjoy it. So please do like and look out for the next episode. Cheers.